Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning. Once again, all praise due to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with the noble and the beautiful day of Jum'ah, the day of Friday. A day indeed we ought to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to try and carry out as much of the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Much to do on a Friday, lot of extra Quran recital to take place, rakahuf, etc. Nafil salah, salatul tasbih is very, very important. We should try and read it on a Friday, and obviously to try and send abundance of durood, salat and salam upon our master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Very important, let us try and make abundance of dua as well, dua for ourselves, our families, and very important, dua for the entire Muslim ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate and remove the sufferings that the Muslims are going through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the destitute, the poor, the sick, and each and every person. We all require the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or the other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our affairs easy for us. Being a Friday morning, between the hours of 9 and 10, we have the Sahaba Focus. Our guest on this program is Malana Muhammad Aku. Malana is an Ustad at the Darul Uloom in Newcastle. Malana speaks on the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Malana concentrates more on the lives of those Sahaba which unfortunately, due to our weaknesses, we have not learned sufficiently on the lives of those particular Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Each and every Sahabi is very valuable. Their lives were spent in order to bring the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forward, in order to protect Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in order to protect and to safeguard and to take forward the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to learn about the lives of the Sahaba, and very, very important to have true love for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And really, we will only gain love for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum once we will learn about their lives, and we will see how they strived, what an effort they made, what enthusiasm they had in order to take this deen forward. Then we will learn about the lives of the Sahaba, then to love them will become more easier for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within us the true love of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Let us listen to this story attentively.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to all our respected listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for his deen, and may Allah enable us to understand our deen. Really, the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum are very special. Every Sahabi has so much to his life that we can learn from. Every Sahabi spent his life in the way pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah give us tawfiq to sacrifice our lives and utilize it for the deen like Sahaba radiallahu anhu. There was the incident of Badr. And this incident of Badr was a great setback for the mushrikeen of Makkah, because they could not bear the existence of Muslims. Even when the Muslims migrated to Medina Munawwara, they were very unhappy. They didn't want the Muslims to exist. That's why they even had rallied or had their consultation, their kind of mashura, to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from leaving Makkah. Because they knew wherever he's going to go, he's going to call people to Allah. So they had trackers to hunt him down. Then when the Muslims had migrated to Medina, the Meccans were not at ease, because now the Muslims will be in peace. So they would every now and again send skirmishes and men to attack Medina Munawwara. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, the command of Allah came for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would also fight back. Then the Battle of Badr took place. In Badr there was one individual. In Badr he was on the side of the mushrikeen. He was so important, so the two of them sat next to the Kaaba, and the discussion was their difficulty, their challenge in Badr. And then Umair had taken, he made a statement: had it not been for my debts and my family to take care of, I would have went now to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put an end to this matter of Islam. Safwan seized the opportunity and he said, I'll take care of your debts, I'll settle them, and your family, I will arrange for them everything that I arrange for my family. Meaning, there wouldn't be anything available to my family that's not available to yours. But as long as you fulfill that task. Umair says, done deal. Just keep it a secret between you and I. He says, I will do that. And Umair was then ready. Just one lesson, my respected listener. He wasn't a Muslim at that time, but he was worried about his death. Allah save us, my beloved brothers, my respected. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that Umair joined the halqa of ta'aleem, and he learned the deen in those few days there, and his captive, his son, was liberated, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him the deen. Sahaba radiallahu anhum taught him, and he took a lot of benefit. To such an extent that he became so close to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that Umar radiallahu anhu would say, لَخِنْزِيرٌ كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ عُمَيْرِ بْنِ وَهْبٍ حَيْنَ قَدِمَ عَلَيْنَا فَهُوَ الْيَوْمَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ بَعْضِ بَنِيَّ وَإِسْنَادُهُ حَسَنٌ. Umar radiallahu anhu would say, even the animal kingdom, even a swine would be preferred by me than Umair when he came the first time, because I felt his plans were against Islam. Today, because of Islam, I love him more than my own children. This is the love that Islam puts between the hearts, my respected listener. Islam brings love. Islam brings that bond. Islam brings unity. The blood of Islam is very, very thick. And it unites. This is the beauty of our deen. That one could have been your arch enemy. But Islam unites us. That brotherhood of Islam, that love of Islam. And this is the demand of the Quran. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. Believers are brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Unite between your brothers, between yourselves. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah. Be conscious of Him. Stay away from His, from breaking His commands, so that you may gain His mercy, His rahmah. Umar radiallahu anhu loved him so much. Sahaba radiallahu anhu loved him so much. So he spent some days in the halqa of ta'aleem. Then he comes to the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, all my life, inni kuntu jahidan ala itfa'i nurillah. I spent my life in trying to extinguish the light of Allah, the deen of Allah. I used to harm all the Muslims. Anyone who was on deen, I used to harm him. And this is so, because in history, it's reported that Umair was actually referred to as a shaitan, as a devil, because of the harm that he had engaged on the Muslims, so much of harm. But now when he changed, the Muslims loved him so much. And from Umar radiallahu anhu's statement also, the way Umar radiallahu anhu was upset with him, and what Umar radiallahu anhu understood on his arrival in Medina, from there we can understand the past of Umair. What a major role he played for the mushrikeen in trying to dub Islam, in trying to bury Islam, in trying to destroy Islam. But how Allah gives hidayah. The environment of Iman, the environment of Yaqeen, the company of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in those few moments changed the life of Umair bin Wahab. He now comes to Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much of harm and atrocities I have meted out to the Muslims. Please permit me. I want to go to Makkah and do Dawat. وَأَنَا أُحِبُّ أَن تَأْذَنَ لِي. O Nabi of Allah, give me ijazat. فَأَخْدَمَ مَكَّةَ فَأَدْعُوَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى رَسُولِهِ وَإِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِيهِمْ. I want to call them to Allah. I want to call them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to invite the people of Makkah to Islam. Maybe Allah will give them hidayat. Maybe Allah will make me a means of their hidayat. O Nabi of Allah. O Nabi of Allah, give me this ijazat. My respected listeners, pause for a few moments and understand again. Look at every Sahabi. He accepts Islam, he takes deen to heart, and then his heart doesn't allow him to sit. His heart doesn't allow him to keep it to himself. This was a mizaj, this was a temperament, my respected listeners, that was aam, that was general amongst all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, all and sundry, male, female, young, old. Every Sahabi had this mizaj. Every Sahabi had this understanding of deen, understanding of Quran, and understanding of their duty towards mankind. And then he said, O Nabi of Allah, if they're gonna harm my deen again, and they're gonna refuse, I'm gonna sort them out. I will sort them out, O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while Umair radiallahu anhu was enlightening himself with the Quran, with the Hadith, with the Fiqh,
in the company of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu in Medina Munawwara, what was happening to his friend Safwan, my respected listeners? Do you remember Safwan? Safwan bin Umayyah, who was the cousin of Umayr, who had actually undertaken the responsibility of paying his debt and seeing to his family. What was Safwan doing? Safwan was waiting and he was becoming impatient. He was as though he was on burning coal. He was waiting for the news. And he would go to the gatherings around the Kaaba in Makkah. And he would tell the non-Muslims there. He would say, rejoice, rejoice. Soon there's very, very good news coming to you. أَبْشِرُوا بِوَقْعَةٍ تَأْتِيكُمُ الْآنِ فِي أَيَّامٍ تُنْسِيكُمْ وَقْعَةَ بَدْرٍ. He would tell them, soon such good news is going to come to you, my friends, that you'll even forget what happened in Badr. Because he's expecting to receive the news that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is assassinated, na'udhu billah. He's expecting that news. He wouldn't believe that Umayr would change to such an extent that he would say that even if there was no one left on earth except Umayr, still too, Umayr will not accept Islam. He would never accept Islam. And now Umayr is learning deen in Medina Munawwara. Few days later, he takes ijazat from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to return to Makkah for da'wat. Now he journeys back to Makkah with the fikr of da'wat, with the fikr of the hidayat of his people. And he comes to Makkah. And he comes to meet the people. And he starts making the gasht in Makkah, calling the people to Allah, calling the people to Islam, calling the different people. And who else did he meet, my respected listeners? He went to meet his friend Safwan bin Umayyah. One report actually says, as Umayr was still in Medina, Safwan bin Umayyah was becoming so impatient that restlessness was penetrating into his heart. And he became so restless, he would actually wait outside Makkah. And any caravan traveling past, he would ask them, any news? Anything happened peculiar in Medina? He wouldn't specify what he's waiting for, because it was a secret between himself and Umayr. He would just say, is there any news, anything you heard of? Because he expects, he knows, if it happens that na'udhu billah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been killed by Umayr, the news will spread like wildfire, and even more. So he's waiting for that news, but now he is becoming restless. So he's asking them, any news? And no one could give him an answer. Up till one day, one caravan goes past, and he asks them, anything happened in Medina? You travel past there, you're coming from that direction? He says, yeah, there is something happened. Umayr became Muslim. He says, what? This news had fallen on Safwan like a thunderbolt. He said, I thought this man would never accept Islam, even though he was the only man left on planet Earth. There again, my respected listeners, there again, the environment of Iman has such an impact. Let's take one more, another lesson here, my respected listeners. We can't give people hidayat, but we can make an effort with Allah's help to bring them to the environment of hidayat. Like Allah gave us tawfiq, we had the ijtima, it was such a beautiful ijtima, so many people, alhamdulillah, Allah's rahmat came also, rain also came, but in spite of the rain, there were so many brothers, so many people in the ijtima. You look right, you look left, you see people of different color, different race, different background. Not far from where I was sleeping in one tent, there was one youngster. So we got to know each other, and we spoke a little. He says, after I got to know him, he says, my father is a priest. My father is a priest in Durban, and I accepted Islam a few years ago, and he tried so hard to stop me from coming to the ijtima, but Allah gave me tawfiq and I came. So he says, please, I also want to study deen. Alhamdulillah. So you meet so many people like this, what sacrifice they make, and they come to that environment, and they become enlightened. One friend of mine, he joined us in Jamaat not long before the ijtima, and he was also a priest, and he came for the ijtima. He was so touched, he was actually crying. He says, for how many years I've been telling people falsehood, and Allah Ta'ala now has put the truth in my heart. So there's so many people like this. So let's take the lesson. We can't give people hidayat, but bring people to the environment of Iman and hidayat, that hidayat will come in. So many of us are Muslims, but we do not want to make any sacrifice for Allah's deen. We cannot sacrifice our warm beds, our comfortable homes, How do we expect deen to remain perfect in our hearts when we don't make a sacrifice for it? And for anything, a sacrifice is needed, my respected listener. Even a simple thing like a garden. If you just neglect that garden, no matter how beautiful it was, if you're not going to care and have concern for that garden, it no sooner than later, that garden is going to turn into a bush and a jungle. Everything needs effort. Everything needs, importance. Even a farm. Anything. Imagine iman. Iman needs effort. And iman needs the environment of iman to preserve and protect iman. So, Umair then is journeying back to Makkah. And why is he going to Makkah? To invite to Allah. And now when he goes to Makkah, he goes to meet the people of Makkah. And he invites them. And he calls them. And he was a prominent person. So he had that courage and he went to call to Allah Ta'ala. And then he goes to meet his friend Safwan. And Safwan refuses to even meet him. Safwan doesn't want to know him. Safwan doesn't want to even talk to him. But a Muslim never gives up, my respected listener. A Muslim must always try. Maybe there was a teacher you had who taught you in school, taught you a certain subject, maths, English. MashaAllah, very good. Now, and it's 15, 20 years have gone by. 30 years have gone by. Find out the address of that teacher. Visit that teacher and show the teacher your appreciation and the akhlaq of Islam. And now share Islam with that teacher. Like what Umair bin Wahab did. He went back to Makkah and he went to meet all his friends and associates. And he didn't give up on Safwan bin Umayyah. Years went by also. Imagine you go to your teacher and you give that teacher who taught you math a beautiful box of chocolates in a gift bag and you say, this is an appreciation that you taught me. But why you taught about me all of these years? No, because my religion teaches me to appreciate every person who benefited me. And with that, imagine if you give some beautiful literature, sahih literature on the beauty of Islam, you know, the beautiful teachings of Islam, a beautiful translation of the Quran. What an impact it will have on your teacher, on your colleague, on your friend, on your schoolmate that was with you in university or school 10, 20, 30 years ago, my respected listeners. Let's be like Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Don't mize with this deen, my respected listeners. Now, Umair doesn't give up on his friend and on all others, because a Muslim doesn't give up on the next. He wants mankind to get hidayah. Then years went by. Fath-e Makkah took place. When Fath-e Makkah took place, the wife of Safwan bin Umayyah accepted Islam. And her name was Al-Baghum radiallahu anha. Al-Baghum bintul Mu'addal from the Kinana tribe. Al-Baghum bintul Mu'addal radiallahu ta'ala anha. She accepted Islam. But Safwan, he heard Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming into Makkah. He was so hard against Islam that himself and Ikrimah planned, and later Allah gave them hidayat also. They became radiallahu anhumah. And we did discuss in our series the life of Ikrimah radiallahu anhumah. Both of them, they had actually prepared a troop and they attacked one contingent of the Muslims that were entering Makkah Mukarramah. That's how dead against Islam was Safwan. Safwan had actually accumulated so much of weaponry. From all the people, he had the most amount of weaponry because he had invested a lot, major portion of his wealth in that to fight against Islam. Now, here, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is entering, he uses his weaponry and he gets his troops and he goes towards one big contingent or one section of the army who was commanded by Khalid radiallahu anhu. Khalid radiallahu anhu entered that region of Makkah and Safwan and Ikrimah attacked Khalid radiallahu ta'ala. And then Safwan and Ikrimah ran from there. And then Safwan was so distorted by this entry of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam into Makkah Mukarramah, he didn't know what to do. So, he then wanted to run away. So he says to his servant Yasar, hey, who's there? Who's coming? Who's coming? Because now Safwan is hiding in the valley, in the Shi'ab. There was a valley between the two mountains. He's hiding there because he doesn't want the Muslims to find him because he feels that he'll be killed. Because he spent his life in harming Islam. Even when the Muslims entered Makkah on the occasion of Fath, no one stood up against the Muslims and took arms against them. Everyone surrendered and gave in, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave. But Safwan. Safwan came with an army to fight. So he thought, I'll never be forgiven. So he asks his servant, who you see coming there? Who's coming? His servant looks closely, no, it's Umayr bin Wahab. By Allah, it's Umayr. So Sufyan is saying, what does Umayr want with me? He wants to kill me. Definitely he wants to kill me because he has made a clause with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against me. And then Umayr comes there. And then Sufyan says to him, Umayr, give up now. Stop this now. You actually made me pay your debt. And now I took care of your family for that while you were gone to Medina. And now you're coming here to kill me. Umayr says to Sufyan, oh my brother, oh Abu Wahab, ju'iltu fidak, may my life be sacrificed to you. I have come to you from the best of Allah's creation. Ji'tuka min indi abarrin nas wa awsalin nas. I have come to you from that individual who loves to join ties with people, who loves to treat people kindly, politely, lovingly. And now Umayr had actually come to give dawah to Safwan again. After Safwan did what he did on the occasion of Fath Makkah, the victory of Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. And Umayr had spoken to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, the senior from my tribe, my friend, he had ran away. He's rushing towards the ocean. I think he wants to kill himself. He's worried that you would never give him amnesty because of how he spent his life in fighting against the Turk. O Nabi of Allah, give him amnesty. May my parents be sacrificed for you, my Nabi. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, done. I have given him amnesty. So Umayr had now searched for Safwan and he finally found him. So this is what brought this incident. So Umayr is saying to Safwan, I have come to you from the best of Allah's creation. He has given you amnesty. No one will harm you. No one will touch you. Safwan says, I cannot believe that. After I did what I did and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will forgive me, I cannot believe it at all. I must have a sign. Umayr returns to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah. He wants to see some sign from you because he can't believe that a person can be so forbearant. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take my imamah. And everyone had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entry into Makkah Mukarramah, which was an entry of mercy. It was an entry of humility. It was an entry into a city which he was banished and harmed and tortured. His Sahaba were tortured for how many years? That same city, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters with such humility, such humbleness, such forgiveness, such chivalry. His head was almost touching his saddle, beseeching Allah, saying, La ilaha illallah wahda anjaza wa'da wa nasara abada wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. That there's no deity except Allah, who is alone. Allah alone defeated his enemies. Allah alone helped his banda. He helped his servant. He helped his servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He helped his slave Muhammad. Wa nasara abada. Allah did everything alone. This was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He attributed everything to Allah. Allah, I didn't do. Allah, you did. So everyone saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's entry into Makkah Mukarramah. So Allah's Nabi gives his imamah, his blessed imamah. It was a black imamah on that occasion. He gives it to Umayr. Give this to Safwan. Umayr returns with this imamah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same imamah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters with. One report says a shawl. So it was either a shawl that was tied like an imamah, or it was a shawl and an imamah. So either the shawl tied like an imamah. So he returns with the imamah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he shows it to Safwan. So this was a challenge. Umayr had to return to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then take that amanat from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then find Safwan again and present it to him. And then he says, "Oh Abu Wahab, oh Safwan, I've come to you from the best of Allah's creation, the most righteous of Allah's creation, the most kind of Allah's creation, the most loving of Allah's creation, the most forbearant of Allah's creation. His glory is your glory. His honor is your honor. His kingdom is your kingdom. He is your own family. He is like the child of your own mother and father. You come from the same family. Oh Umayr, oh Safwan, wa udhakiruka Allah. I remind you of Allah. Allah made you. I give you advice to fear Allah. Be nafsik. In your heart, think about it. And it's for your own good, oh Safwan. Don't run away and ruin your life. Change your life. Safwan says, Umayr, I must tell you, I fear that I will be killed. How can a man like me be forgiven by a man like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? against whom I spent my entire life and my resource. Umair says, Muhammad ﷺ invites you to Islam. And if you want time to think, he'll even leave you for a couple of months, for 2 months. Because if he told you 2 months, you got chance to think, and then after that you can leave if you don't want to, or you can accept. Because he is the most forbearant of all, and he is the most amanatdar of all, most righteous of all. And he sent me this imamah that he entered Makkah with, that you recognize. He says, yes, I recognize this imamah. And I recognize this imamah. So Umair then takes his strength of one. So we learn from there. A lot of sacrifice has to be made to bring one person. Go through that challenge. Spend the time. Bring one person. Bring him to the masjid. Bring that person for Allah's deen. You're actually saving that person from the fire of Jahannam. And then now, both of them, Safwan and Umair, they come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Haram Sharif. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing Asr Salah in the masjid. They both stand there. Umair is with Safwan to make him comfortable. When you bring someone, be with that person, make him comfortable. Give him reassurance. Because it's very difficult for a new person to come. Imagine a person has been attending the church all his life, now he wants to come to the masjid, or the temple all his life, and now he wants to come to the masjid. That fear really penetrates the heart. So Safwan asks Umair, how many prayers in the day and night? He says, Umair responds, 5 times a day we pray. Does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lead the prayers? Umair says, yes, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lead the prayers. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made salam and completed the salah, Safwan in fright, he screams that, oh Muhammad, Umair brought me your imamah, and he claims that you invited me to come to you, called me to come to you, and you have given me time to think about it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't worry, don't be worried, oh Safwan, come sit by me, inzil. Inzil can mean get off your conveyance, or it means come sit here next to me, come by me. He said, no, I'll never come sit there by you until you clarify. Nabi Sassam said, what's 2 months? Take 4 months. You got your chance to think. And then Safwan came, he got off his conveyance and he sat by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi Sassam treated him kindly, treated him politely, and gave him time to think. And then from Fathi Makkah, There was a battle against Hawazin, the Hawazin tribe, the people of Thaqif. And then Safwan wanted to join in. So Rasulullah ﷺ allowed also. And then Safwan had a lot of weaponry. So Rasulullah ﷺ asked his permission, that can you loan us this weapon, this 100 coats of mail, the armor and all its components, whatever goes with it, 100 of them. So Safwan said, are you forcing me or is it my choice to loan it to you? He said, Nabi ﷺ said, no, it is your choice. And if we loan it, we are going to return it to you. You know, it's not we taking it. So Safwan loaned his coats of mail, 100 of them, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then it was taken to Hunain. And then Umair also participated. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he participated in Hunain and Taif in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was a non-Muslim. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Jirana, where the booty was accumulated and preserved. While Rasulullah ﷺ was overviewing the booty, with him was Safwan. So Allah's Nabi ﷺ was giving Safwan time. And Safwan was marveling at this valley full of cattle, sheep, camels, herds, and so much of wealth. And he was staring at this and marveling at this worldly wealth. Allah's Nabi ﷺ was glancing at Safwan, seeing the way he was touched by what he sees before him, the booty. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Wahab, meaning O Safwan, does this sight of this valley full of wealth, does it astonish you, does it please you? He says, yes, this is marvelous, this is amazing. Allah's Nabi said, Safwan, all of this is now yours. Huwa laka wa ma fi, everything on this field here is yours. Safwan said, what? It's mine. Allah's Nabi said, it's yours. He went to his people, he said, it's no one but the heart. No heart can tolerate giving so much except the heart of a Nabi of Allah. Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And he accepted Islam. He embraced Islam. And he gave his life for Allah's deen. He gave his life for Allah's deen. After the battle, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted now the coats of mail
to return it to Safwan, and then there were a few coats of mail short. Allah's Nabi said, don't worry, we will pay you for what is short because it was your amanat, you loaned it to us on this expedition. He said, no, I don't want you to pay me for it. Now my love is for Islam. Now I want Islam. My respected listeners, this man, Safwan bin Umayyah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who spent so much of his life fighting against Allah's deen, now he spends his life striving for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, striving for Allah Ta'ala's sake. Allah's Nabi made his ikram. So we learn to make people's ikram, show people honor, show people izzat, bring them to Allah Ta'ala's deen, and how he changed his life. All his life he spent for Allah Ta'ala's sake. After that he was in Makkah, but he wanted to migrate to Medina Munawwara. So he came to Medina Munawwara and he stayed with Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi told him that after Fath Makkah, Hijrah has now been completed. So he also wanted that virtue of Hijrah, but it was late. So Allah's Nabi said, where are you staying in Medina? He said, I'm staying with Abbas radiallahu anhu. Allah's Nabi said, yes, Abbas loves the Quraysh and he loves you. But O Abu Wahab, you should return to Makkah and you stay there and Allah will put khair for you. And he returned to Makkah because that was the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for him. He went to Makkah Mukarramah and he was such a generous man. He spent his life feeding people, serving people, calling people to Allah, serving deen. He was one of the noble people of Quraysh in the past also. And he was known for his quality of loving to feed people. Ahadul Mut'imin. So we learn from here. When a person has good qualities, that good quality becomes the means of his hidayat later on. When you see a man with good quality, encourage that person. And very often we see a lot of good people with good qualities, but they don't know. They don't know about Allah. We have to introduce Allah to them and teach them about Allah and the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the beautiful seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The title of Safwan was Sidadul Batha. Sidad, meaning he would solve anyone's issues and feed them and solve whatever they wanted. And he was a very eloquent person. It is said that in one lineage, there was no so generous five people like the lineage of Safwan, because Amr bin Abdullah bin Safwan bin Umayyah bin Khalaf, all five of them. Amr bin Abdullah bin Safwan bin Umayyah bin Khalaf, the entire forefather and offspring of Safwan radiallahu anhu, were very, very generous, meaning Khalaf, Umayyah, Safwan radiallahu anhu, Abdullah radiallahu anhu, his son, and Amr, his grandson, radiallahu anhum, they all would spend profusely for Allah's sake, for Allah's pleasure. Even on the occasion of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's reign, he asked, who's feeding the people abundantly in Makkah, I'm hearing? They said it was Abdullah bin Safwan, Safwan radiallahu anhu's son. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, Bakhin, marvelous, marvelous. That is such a fire that never gets extinguished. Meaning he continues cooking food to feed people for Allah Ta'ala's sake. And then after that, Abdullah bin Safwan passed away with Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. And then Safwan bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to go to Makkah Mukarramah. So he spent his life there serving Allah Ta'ala's deen, feeding people, making khidmat. And it was in the year 42 Hijri, during the reign of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when this great sahabi, Safwan bin Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, passed away. And who made effort on him? It was the glorious sahabi, Umayr bin Wahab radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to emulate the lives of the glorious sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and we share it with mankind. And also, we should bring alive the lives of sahaba, the practice of the sahaba, the teachings of sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Take few moments to read ikhwas for these two giant, glorious, genius sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Jazakumullahu khair. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya akhirat.